Well, Radio St. Pete, for those of you who love the 70s, the 60s, and the good old music, did you ever hear of Mr. Bojangles? Well, I am talking to the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band's Bob Carpenter. Welcome, Bob, to Radio St. Pete.
Good morning, or afternoon in your case.
Well, it is. And listen, we're so happy that you're going to be here at the Bill Hamer Capitol Theater in Clearwater, February 21st. Tell us a little bit about what we can expect that night. This is your farewell tour, and I'm already crying.
Well, we'll be doing everything from probably our first single, Buy For Me the Rain, all the way through a cutoff of our last record, Dirt Does Dylan, which came out 2 years ago. And we'll touch on all three Circle records, Circle Beyond Broken records. We'll do some bluegrass. We'll do some deep cuts like Rippin' Waters. We'll play the hits from the 80s like Fishing in the Dark and let's see what else. Working Man. We'll do Bojangles. We try to get to the stuff that the people come out to hear.
I saw that when you were in Tennessee, you had a lot of guests sit in with you. Tell us a little bit about that.
That was our last show that we're ever going to do at the Ryman. So we did two nights, and we had a lot of guest stars. Coming, Emmylou Harris and Jerry Douglas and Sam Bush. And we did one night which was more bluegrass-oriented and one night which was more, let's say, country-oriented. And we did two nights there, and it was great. Always loved playing at the Ryman.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they've called you soul-voiced, and you are. I've heard you perform, and it's just a delight that you're coming to Tampa Bay. But tell us a little bit about your musical journey. Where did you grow up? How did you get involved in music, and how did you come to join the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band?
I grew up on the East Coast. I'm a Philadelphia guy, which meant I got down to Florida more than once during my formative years during spring break. And I started strumming accordion when I was 4 years old, which I still have, and I actually play it on stage. And then I went to school for a while. I eventually got up to Colorado, where I met the guys in the band. I had a band up there. We had the same manager, and I just sort of naturally integrated myself with them. We started writing songs. We started going to the studio with them, things like that. So it was all very natural process.
And you play keys and vocals. And how do you feel about this tour? I mean, this is really, you're all about the good times, right? And So you're making this a good time. Is it time to move on to some other things in your encore chapter that you're interested in doing, Bob?
No, we're not going to stop recording and stuff. In fact, we just got out of the studio back in the beginning of February. We were in cutting some new songs. We're going to keep playing music. We're just not going to be on the road for 100 days a year. We're slowing down our touring, and eventually it'll stop here real soon. We just can't be on the road that many days and do like 80 shows a year. It's just too much.
Well, you know, with streaming and everything else, it's really changed, and we're all excited. Do you have a working name for the new album or any of the songs that
No.
you can share with us?
No, we're still, we've just cut some songs. We even don't know what's going on right now. We just wanted to play some music. So we'll see what happens. We're probably pretty far out from releasing anything. We just got started, just dipped our toes in the water, so to speak.
Well, I won't be fishing in the dark for any more information here. So,
I had some. I wish I had some. I don't have anything. I'd have to make something up.
So you have three, if you're three-time Grammy winners, then, I mean, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And how does this six, what I consider my music that I grew up with, that seamlessly fused folk, rock, bluegrass, and country, how is that just the Mozart of our times? Tell us a little bit about the lasting influence of the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band and why, in your estimation, Bob.
Well, we've learned from the people that came before us, and there are people who are learning who are coming after us. You know, I think the Circle Project sort of speaks to that very well, how all this music is handed down. You know, and like, you know, it'll take a while to sink in or even indicate what our footprint is in the history of music. I mean, we've always done this just because we love playing music for people and we enjoy hanging out together.
And this band, tell us a little bit about the band that's going to be together. You guys have been playing for quite a while together. Introduce us to the band that we will see on the 21st.
Jeff Hanna, who plays guitars and his lead singer. He and Jimmy Fadden, who plays harmonica and drums, they started this band back in 1966. I started playing with them in 76, and back about 7-8 years ago, Jeff's son Jamie joined the band. He'd been playing with Gary Allen. He played with the Mavericks, and his buddy from across the street, Ross Holmes, who plays fiddle and mandolin, he's played with Bruce Hornsby. He's played with Mumford and Sons. So those guys are already playing music together. So we had him come on board for our tour starting in 2017. There, I got it right. And they've been playing with us ever since. And now we went in the studio with them as part of the band and, made this record, Dirt Does Dylan. Also, our bass player, Jim Fotheglow, who we've known, since, 1980, he wrote Fishing in the Dark. He's playing bass with us and singing. He's been with us since 2016. So that's it. We got six guys, and that's the lineup.
Wow, that's great. And where do you go to studio, in Los Angeles or elsewhere?
We always record in Nashville. That's our home base.
That is your home base. Is that your home base as well?
No, I'm in Southern California.
Yeah, I'm a San Diego girl.
Well, there you go.
I love the West. The West is best. But tell me a little bit about how Nashville continues to be a center and a community for musicians like yourselves and the younger musicians and you guys as a legacy musicians.
Oh, it's always been a community of musicians. It's gotten way touristy over the last 10 years. I'm sure that everybody that lives there will let you know that. It's become more of a more than just a place for people to make music. And but the people, it's a very tight-knit community of musicians, and there's lots of places to play music and try out your new songs. And, I've been going there since 1980, and musically it's changed a little bit, but basically it's the same folks doing the same things, playing music they always have been doing down there.
Well, you've got quite the tour plans. You're going to Florida, you're going to Savannah, you're going to Kansas City, you're going to Oklahoma. Texas, what states seem to be loving you the most these days? You're even going to Winnipeg, Canada, for God's sake.
We're doing about 7 shows in Canada. We haven't been up there in a couple years, but we've been going up to Canada since 1984. We enjoy playing up there.
Does it have that Colorado feel that you had in the good days?
Well, it has the Colorado feel when we're playing in Alberta, when we're up around Edmonton, because, you're still in the Rocky Mountains up there, but we haven't done an East Coast tour of Canada since we toured there with Willie Nelson about 15 years ago, but I don't know whether we're going to get back there or not. We're going to be on the East Coast at the end of the year. We may pop up there for a few shows.
Well, folks, if you've just joined me on this conversation on Radio St. Pete, we're talking about the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. A lot of tickets are already sold to the Capitol Theater. It's February 21st, and we're talking to Bob Carpenter, who has been with the band, is a keyboard player and vocalist, and he is sharing with us some of his experiences. You have worked with a lot of people. You've collaborated with Johnny Cash, Dwight Yoakam, Emmylou Harris, Taj Mahal. What has been, for you personally, a wonderful collaboration that both inspired and moved you?
Well, I think everything we did on Circle 2 and Circle 3, that's another instance of when you're in the middle of it, you don't get to enjoy it as much as you do looking back on it. You don't quite understand the significance of it in your musical life until you've had time to live with it for a while. Because when you're in the studio working with these folks, everything's live. Everybody's dependent upon everyone else doing their job and not making mistakes because everybody's vocals and all their instruments are bleeding in all these microphones. You can't fix anything. So it requires a lot of intense concentration, and you're just content on doing your job at that point. You can't really soak it all in, but all of those collaborations have been amazing.
Absolutely. And I have to say, as we lose some of the most amazing musicians of our time, of course, John Prine lived here in Gulfport in the Tampa Bay area for a while. It's hard to see the last generation fading, but tell us who in the new generation you're following that you think does an amazing job in this particular arena of the kind of music you make?
Well, we've played shows, with a lot of country artists. We do these festivals, and we get up to do a lot of stuff with them. But I enjoy a lot of different genres of music, I enjoy Brandi Carlile a lot. I think she's a really talented gal. Emmylou Harris is still putting out new music. As far as the new kids go, it's really hard for me to say as far as like the real new kids go because I'm not exposed to that too much.
How do you listen to music? Let's talk vinyl versus CD. What's your take on that, Bob?
Well, I still have CDs and I still have vinyl and I still have, Sirius in my car and stuff like that. So it's, there's a lot of different ways I listen to music. It's whatever happens to be handy at the time.
And what kind of instrument do you play on? What keyboard do you use?
Oh, I play, I have a digital piano I use on stage. I have a grand piano at home. I have some Nord stuff for my organ stuff. I have a couple of accordions, one of which I take on the road, which are real accordions. And I'm usually using a setup like that.
How did you learn to play accordion? One of my favorite instruments, by the way, right there with the auto harp.
It was forced upon me. My parents used to listen to Lawrence Welk, and I used to get out the pie tins and bang on them, and that was a little too much for them. So they said, well, look, there's an accordion. How about one of those? And they got me one when I was four, but I only took a couple of lessons because I didn't really know enough to support any kind of music lessons at that point. And it just sort of stayed with me. And when I didn't really play it much until I started working with the Dirt Band, and the accordions are welcome in the Dirt Band, so I started playing it again.
Did they have somebody playing spoons because I could sit in?
Well, the Dirt Band started as a jug band. They had washtub bass, and they had a washboard, and they had all that kind of stuff, when they first got together. So spoons would not be a reach.
Absolutely. Bob, before we sign off, I want to thank you again for your time, especially since you have such a busy touring schedule. Share something with our audience that will help them look forward to this experience at the Capitol Theater on February 21st.
We will do our best to play the songs that you're expecting us to play and the stuff that you love that we play and the stuff that you're coming to hear. And we're hoping to give you a couple hours of, you forgetting all the other stuff that may be going on in your life and just being able to smile and listen to some music.
Playing the music, your music for fans of the Dirt Band all over the world has been an incredible experience, you say. And for folks, if you want a beautiful communal experience, please join the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. Thank you, Bob Carpenter, for joining Radio Safe Pete today.
You're welcome, Nanette. Thanks for calling me. Bye-bye.